In preparation for this message, please read Proverbs chapter 14, verse 30, chapter 15, verse 17, chapter 17, verses 9 and 17, and chapter 22, verse 11.
Let us pray. Our Father, we do commit thy words into thy hand and ask thee to bless it, to break it, and to give to us, that they may be food, life, and spirit to us. O Lord, we do desire that whatever thou dost want may be fully fulfilled in each and all of our lives. And for this end, we just commit ourselves to thee, for thy Spirit's breathing and working this morning. In the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. The third pillar, which wisdom builds, is the pillar of love. Now, brothers and sisters, oftentimes we think that love is just an emotion. It is an emotion. But love is something deeper, more than just an emotion. Because the Bible said God is love. In other words, love is a nature. The divine nature of God is love. And as this love is developed, is practiced all the time, it becomes a character. Our God is the God of love. With Him, it is not just an emotional reaction. If love is just an emotion, then it is mainly a reaction to the circumstance, to the environment, or to the stimulus that is given to a person. Because you are stimulated in one way, and you react with an emotion called love. Now, if you are stimulated in another way, probably you will react with another emotional expression of hate. So you find that if it is just an emotion, it is transient, it is subject to changes, it is governed by the outward circumstance and environment. It is never steady. But love as a nature, as a character of God, is permanent, never changes. It does not depend upon outside environment or stimulus, but you find that it rests in God Himself. So, brothers and sisters, first of all, we need to recognize that love is more than an emotion. It is a character, a nature, a divine nature that is fully developed and become a character to us. God loves, not because He is affected by outside things. God loves because He is love. It just comes from within Him, and He cannot deny Himself. He cannot but love. It is His nature, and it has become His character. So as you read the Bible, you find one character of God is love. Naturally, we do not have this love in us. we have a kind of love, which is really a kind of natural inclination. In the Bible, you know, in the New Testament, it uses the word philo, which means that you are naturally inclined. There is some affection. There is some tendency towards a person, a kind of friendship. Now, we know this kind of thing. But as to love, which is independent of circumstances, this is something we do not have. And in the Greek, it uses the word agape, which is absolute love, pure love. And only God has that love. But you know, brothers and sisters, we often think we have love. And we start out to love God and man with that love. Until one day we discover to our surprise that we simply do not have that love in us. If we will have that love, it has to come from God. Just use an illustration. Peter. Peter thought he had great love for the Lord. And in a sense, you know, he did. And one day when the Lord began to tell his disciples how he would be betrayed and how they will all be scattered, trying to save their own life, now Peter stood up and said, "This may happen to the others, but not to me. I love you so much. I am confident that I'm willing to go and die with you." He was sincere. It was not just something from his lips. He meant it well. But when the real test came, you remember the story? How he followed afar the Lord when the Lord was taken. And when the Lord was taken into the house of Caiaphas, he was standing outside in the court. And it was very cold in the night. So these servants, these men, were having a fire. And they were trying to warm their hands and warm themselves. And Peter was with them. And a little maid came out and said, "Are you not one of his?" And you remember how he denied the Lord. He denied the Lord even with a curse. 3 times. He thought that he had that love in him. And he discovered he didn't have it. He went out and wept. And then you remember after the resurrection of our Lord. One morning the Lord appeared to his disciples when they were fishing. And as they were on the shore eating their breakfast, the Lord asked Peter 3 times, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" And what are these? The fire? The fish? The bread? The companions? Do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than the fire? Once you love the fire more than me. By the fire, you deny me. You love that comfort. You love that warmth and ease of life more than you love me. Once you love your own life, you try to save your own skin. Once you love companions, you didn't want to be unpopular. Now, do you love me more than these? And Peter said, Lord, you know, I love you. But the word that the Lord used there is the word agape. Do you love me with a pure love, an absolute love? And Peter's answer was, I feel you. I do have some inclination towards you. I cannot say I love you with a pure love. And the Lord said, feed my lambs. Then the second time the Lord said, do you love me? The Lord did not compare anything, but just said, do you love me? And again Peter, knowing himself, he said, Lord, you know, I feel you. I cannot say I love you absolutely. I had fallen. I knew myself now. But I do have some inclination towards you. I do desire you. And the Lord said, shepherd my sheep. And for the third time, the Lord said, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And the word the Lord used the third time is no longer agape. It is philo. Are you inclined towards me? And when the Lord used that word, Peter was sad. He was so sad. He couldn't reach out. He couldn't rise above to that divine love. He knew it was not in him. And sadly, he said, Lord, you know, I do have some friendship towards you. You know that. And the Lord said, feed my sheep. So, brothers and sisters, in this instance, we can see that even though we have some kind of philo love in us, and yet we do not have that agape love in us, our love is more or less dependent upon the people around us, the circumstance about us. Our love is not something that is within us, which is so strong that it is not subject to what is outside. We love because we love. Because there is love in us. It is a nature, and it is to become a character. We can love the loving, but we cannot love the unlovely. It is just beyond us. We cannot do that. We cannot love with an absolute love, a pure love, love for love's sake, not for any other material reasons, not for any selfish reasons. When we love, there is a selfish reason in it. But God loves us with selflessness. And that is not us. It has to be of God. So the Bible said love is of God. And he who loves is of God. It has to come from the Lord. We say we do not have this love in us. And one day, we have to acknowledge that. Probably the sooner you acknowledge it, the better. Because otherwise you're trying. You're trying. And what has come out is yourself. It is a counterfeit. It may deceive yourself. Until one day you suddenly wake up to see that it is just not in you. It is just yourself. So I think if we can realize this as early as possible, that will be a real blessing to us. It may be a shock, but it is a blessing. However, we do have this love in us. Why? Because in Romans chapter 5, you remember? God has shed abroad in our heart his love by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. naturally, we do not have this love in us. But we have believed in the Lord Jesus. We are now children of God. And as God's children, He has shed abroad His love in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. In other words, the indwelling Holy Spirit has brought to us a life. He is the Spirit of life. And within that life is a nature. And one of the characters, of the characteristics of the nature is love. God is love. And we are begotten of God. And because of that, we have in us a love which we do not have before. We do have the love of God in us. We do have a life which is a life of love. The very nature of that life is love. So, brothers and sisters, if we learn to live by that life, then you'll find a character of love can be built up in us. In other words, the potential is already in us. We have the life of Christ in us, and the life of Christ is love. And if we learn to live by that life, then we can love as naturally and as supernaturally. And if we continue to follow that life, love will begin to be built in us, and it shall become a character. And with this character, God is to build His church. In John chapter 15, we read this, verse 9, "As the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If ye shall keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have spoken these things to you, that my joy may be in you, and your joy be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another, as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, that one shall lay down his life for his friends." The Lord said, "As the Father has loved me, and I have loved you, abide in my love." The Father has loved the Son. That's a fact. And the Lord has loved us. That's a fact. Nothing can change these facts. These are eternal facts. And having this fact, the Lord said, "Now you go into experience. Abide in my love." Has the Lord loved us? He has. We know His love. In the measure that we know His love, shall be the measure of our love. Why? Because the very source of love is God Himself. You cannot find love anywhere else. You find love in God. You find love in the Lord Jesus. And as you know His love, as His love begins to constrain you, then you begin to abide in love. You make His love your home. And as you make His love your home, you will discover that you begin to love. In other words, if we love, if love is to build up in us, first of all, you have to abide in His love. It is only His love that becomes your love. Otherwise, there is no love in us. You know, the problem with us believers is this. After we are saved, we are told that we must love. We must love one another. We must love our enemies. We must love God. And because we are told we must love, therefore we strive to love. We try to love. We try to love God. We try to love our brothers and sisters. We try to love the people of this world, even our enemies. And we try very hard. Why? Because we want to be good Christians. But oftentimes you find when you try to love God, and even me, you may tell God, Lord, I love you very, very much. And yet, if the Lord should reveal His mind to you in a way that is not pleasing to you, that does not fit with your idea, now where is your love of God? Our love should not be just in lips and in words. How can we prove our love to God? The Lord said, keep my commandments. If you keep my commandments, then you love me. But sometimes we find His commandments are burdensome, unpleasing, a great load. We do not want to do that. We discover there is no love in us towards God. We love Him when everything is fine, when He gave us everything, and as if allow us to do anything we like. But when God begins to show us something which is contrary to our desire, immediately we find His commandments are just too hard. There is no love in us. Only when we remember His love. Only when His love appears to us, only when we are constrained by His love, then His commandments are not hard. We will find that it is our delight to do His will. Why? Because it is His love that inspires us. We love Him, therefore His commandments are not heavy. We think we love one another. We love our brothers and sisters. Oh, we love everybody. Fine. Oftentimes you find you are able to love someone who is 1,000 miles away. Much better than one who lives with you. Why? Because there is no rubbing. But when you rub against one another, now just see how much you can love your brothers and sisters. One day Peter came to the Lord and said, Now Lord, I have a brother. Such a good brother. He sinned against me 7 times. And I forgive him. Is that enough? I have love enough. Peter's love had a limit. 7 times. And the Lord said, I didn't say 7 times. I said 70 times 7. Limitless. And you know the disciples said, Lord, give us more faith. They do not say give us more love, but give us more faith. We have no faith in our brother and sister. No faith. We can't believe them anymore. How can we love them? It has to come from God. Have you ever been brought to a point when you find you just cannot love your brother or sister? Just cannot. No matter how you try, you cannot do it. If you do not hate them, you are good enough. But to love them, you just cannot. You know, there is a difference between like and love. You may not like him, but you have to love him. The Lord does not say we must like everybody. You don't find that in the Bible. But the Lord just said, you must love everyone. Can we love? Oh, if we love, so-called brotherly love. Why does he call brotherly love? Because you love for one reason, your brothers, not for any other reason. Oftentimes our love has some other reasons. We love this brother, we love this sister. Why? Because somehow our temperament seems to fit. Somehow we seem to have the same interest. Somehow we seem to like each other, you know. But brotherly love has no distinction. It's not discriminating. You love simply because the person is a brother. That's all. It has to come from God. It is not in us. And the same thing is true with the people of this world, your enemies. People whom you work with in the same office. And now you'll find it is very difficult. Sometimes some person gives you lots of headaches. And what are you going to do? Can you love that person? Can you pray for that person? It has to come from God. Brothers and sisters, if love is a character, is a nature, remember, it has to come from God. It is not in us. We have to go to the Lord and ask Him to do it. Why love? According to Proverbs, he said, love covereth many transgressions. How can the church of God be built if there is no love? The building of the house of God is not a mechanical work. It's not a technical work. The building of the house of God is a spiritual work. And to build that house, love is essential. If there is no love, there can be no building. Why? Because love covers many transgressions. I think the best illustration in the Bible concerning this verse is the illustration of Noah. You know, after the flood, Noah became a farmer. And he planted a garden. And he had grapes. And he made wine. And he got drunk. Think of that. This righteous Noah got drunk. And he was there naked. Because he wasn't conscious. He was drunk. And you know what happened? Evidently, I don't know whether it was Ham in the first place or whether it's his son Canaan in the first place. Probably it was Canaan in the first place. Canaan came and saw his grandfather naked. And he went to tell his father, jokingly probably, laughingly, despitefully, oh, grandfather, got drunk, naked, look at that, isn't that interesting? And him, as he was told by his son, he went to see the sight. And when he saw it, he had the same reaction, ah, look at that. My father got drunk and naked. My father often disciplined us and often told us things, and now look at himself. So he went to see his two brothers, Jephthah and Shem, and told them about the thing. As a joke, as something to pass around, you know, gossiping, with great delight. And here you'll find Shem and Jephthah. When they heard it, what did they do? They put the dress, the clothes, on their shoulder, and they went backward, not to see their father's nakedness. And when they came to the place where their father lay, they dropped the dress upon the father and went away. They covered their father's nakedness. Now, brothers and sisters, this is love. If there is no love, when we see anything, any fault, any shortcomings, any weakness in our brothers and sisters, we are so happy that they are not perfect, and we'll just go out and broadcast the whole thing. Within the hour, every brother and sister in the church will know about it. Bad news travels fast. Rumors travels fast. Oh, how we love to gossip. You know, when brothers and sisters come together, do you notice one thing? People of this world, when they come together, what are they talking about? You will see that they may be talking about the weather, or they may be talking about politics and so forth, you know. When Christians come together, what do they talk about? About the Lord? No. They talk about different brothers and sisters. Now, do you know? Have you heard? Do you notice? This brother and this sister has done this thing and that thing. We gossip. We gossip about our brothers and sisters. Oh, we spread the news. We spread the rumors. Is that love? Love covereth many transgressions. It doesn't mean that love condones sins. Not at all. It doesn't mean that love compromises with sin. Not at all. It is only that love covers many transgressions. Love tries to cover in order to help, to recover. Brothers and sisters, sometimes some brother and sister have some weakness, and if we just broadcast it to the point that there is no recovery anymore. No recovery is possible. But if it is covered, not to condone, first cover and then recover. Recover. So here you'll find in the book of Proverbs, love is important. Why? It covers many transgressions. Not only that, but you know, love gives us a sound heart. Envy gives us the rottenness of the bones. Now, suppose you envy a person. What will happen? Not only the person that you envy probably one day will suffer because you envy, and you may take some action against that person to bring that person down. But even if nothing is done to the person, simply by envying a person, it rots your bones. It corrupts you. But love gives you a sound heart. Oh, if you love, your heart is fresh and refreshing, and it is healthy, and it is strong. So you find love does not only good to other people, love does good to yourself too. And love, people who love, dispense grace. You know, love and grace are closely related. God is love. That you find in 1 John. And then in the Gospel of John, you'll find our Lord Jesus is full of grace. Why? Because love is a nature within a person. And when there is love there, and when love characterizes that person, then it will come out in grace. We do not have much grace. Why? Because we do not have much love. If there is love in you, then you can be gracious. You can be very gracious. So the book of Proverbs says, a person who loves pureness of heart has grace on his lips. In other words, he will drop grace everywhere he goes. It gives grace. And it gives peace too. Where there is love, there is peace. And the person that loves can stand before the kings. So, brothers and sisters, there is something that needs to be built up in us. We already have this divine nature of love in us. But this divine nature of love needs to be built up in us. We need that. What is love? You know, in 1 Corinthians 13, we have a whole chapter on love. We will not go into details. But I like the Phillips translation. You know, it's very lively, you know. So I'll read Phillips' translation to you. And you just listen to it. The love of which I speak is slow to lose patience. It looks for a way of being constructive. It is not possessive. It is neither anxious to impress, nor does it cherish inflated ideas of its own importance. Love has good manners, does not pursue selfish advantage. It is not touchy. It does not keep account of evil, or gloat over the wickedness of other people. On the contrary, it is glad with all men when truth prevails. Love knows no limit to its endurance, no end to its trust, no fading of its hope. It can outlast anything. I think that's a good translation. The first quality of love you find in Corinthians 13 is love suffers long. Why? Because he is talking about love among brothers and sisters. In chapter 12, you have the body. In chapter 14, you have the operation of the body, how the gifts all function in the body. So, in chapter 13, you have love. Here you have the body of Christ with all the various members. And all the members are different. And they are differently gifted. God gives gifts according to His pleasure. And here you'll find the body with all the members and all the gifts. But before they can start to function and exercise, for the building up of the body, you need love. Love. And the first element of love is love suffers long. Long-suffering. Long-suffering. Because we are members of one body. Because we are so closely knit. Now, God does not want us to be loosely related, like the sand on the seashore. God wants us to be closely knit in spirit, in soul, in every way. Be closely knit. And because we are members one of another, we are so closely related, therefore, one thing is important. We need to suffer long. If we just meet occasionally, we all put on our best Sunday manner, and we can be very kind and and to one another, polite to one another, you know. But if we are really as members of one body, knitted together in spirit, there is still lots of our own flesh in us. There is still a lot of rubbish in us, other than Christ. We have Christ, and the Christ in us unites us. But the flesh outside of Christ in every one of us tends to divide us. No two persons are really alike, even twins. You can always find some difference. How can we be together and not be divided? How can we learn to build up one another and not destroying one another? How can we be together and not scattered? Love. Divine love. Love that suffers love. Does not lose its patience. We have to be patient with one another. And that involves lots of sufferings. If we do not know how to suffer long, we cannot learn how to be kind. That is to find a way of constructive way of helping one another. So that is love. And of course, you know, love is the fruit of the Spirit. In other words, it is not a work that we work out by ourselves. It is the fruit of the Spirit. If we are filled with the Spirit of God, then love is the fruit of it. It is not an effort, something that produced by our own effort. It is something that is the outgrowth of life. Of life. And dear brothers and sisters, thank God, we have that love in us. It is there. But why is it that the love in us is not developed? Or how can that love be developed from being a nature to become a character? That we may truly love one another. You know, in the early days, we are told in history, in the early church, that which impressed the world most was the world will point to these Christians and say, see how they love one another. How can love be developed as a character, characterizes the church? I think there are a few things we need to remember. Number one, we have to come to see that it is not in us, nor is it us. It must be of God. It must come from God. I think that is the first thing we have to remember. Number two, we have to believe that even though love is not naturally in us, and yet it is supernaturally here with us, because the Lord is in us. His life is in us, and His life has the lovely nature. We have to believe that. Number three. The reason why we have this life of love in us and yet we cannot live a life of love is because we stand in the way. We stand in the way. And that's the reason why the Bible said we must deny ourselves. Take up our cross and follow Him. In other words, God will in His mercy raise up circumstances to test us on this point of love. We have the treasure in the earthen vessel. The life of Christ in us is the treasure. And one of the glory of that treasure is love. But this treasure is in the earthen vessel. We are the earth vessel. We have no luster, no glory whatsoever. And then God would raise up circumstance around the earthen vessel, trying to break down the earthen vessel. And we try to keep our integrity. We try to protect ourselves. We try to build up ourselves, trying to face all these circumstances. In other words, we are trying to meet all these circumstances, harden ourselves. But we come to a point, we are cracked. We are broken. And when we are cracked and broken, in other words, God will use environment to bring us to a point to see that we are hopeless. We just cannot love. There is no way. In a practical way, there is no way. We crack. We break. And it is at this very point we look up to the Lord and say, Lord, if you want me to love, you have to do it. And to your surprise, He does it. Because the surpassingness of the power is not of you, but of God. So again, Philip translates 2 Corinthians 4, these verses in this way. We are handicapped on all sides, but we are never frustrated. Handicapped, but not frustrated. We are puzzled, but never in despair. We are persecuted, but we never have to stand it alone. We may be knocked down, but we are never knocked out. Here you'll find we may be surrounded. We are tested to our very limit and beyond our limit. Why? Why does God allow such things to happen to us? To bring us to a point that there might be brokenness in us so that His life of love may be expressed. So this is the way. And in going through that process, you have to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Him. And if we continue on with Him in this way, gradually you'll find love is more than a nature to you. It has gradually become a character. In the beginning, probably you have to go through death and resurrection. You have to go through denying and taking the cross and knowing the power of His resurrection in love. But gradually you'll find you may be able to love unconsciously. It has become so natural to you. It has become a character. When it becomes a character, you are not conscious of it anymore. No, in the process of developing, you are conscious of it. That means it's not mature yet. But when you begin to be unconscious of it, and yet, love is spreading, is diffusing out of your life. It has become a character. And this is the character with which Christ is building His church. So may the Lord be gracious, merciful to us. Shall we pray? Lord, Thou hast greatly encouraged us because Thou dost show us, even if love is not naturally in us, and yet Thou hast miraculously put Thy love in us. Thou hast shed abroad in our heart Thy love. And Lord, we want to know more of this love. We do desire to give ourselves to Thee and let Thee live out Thy love. O Lord, we thank Thee for bringing us many times to a place where we just cannot love anymore. We have come to our limit, but we do praise and thank Thee. Thou art the infinite God, and Thy love is limitless. So, Lord, may Thou increase this, Thy love, in all of us. May Thou be increasing us. Oh, may Thy church be characterized by love, that Thy church may be built to the praise of Thy glory. In Thy precious name we ask. Amen.